Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. The one we've gathered here to worship again this morning, just have been worshiping throughout the week, throughout our lives, the one who has done so much for us. Praise his name. It's interesting how God directs us, different ones we have part. I feel like our entire service this morning is kind of all tied together. We thought of the devotional this morning, the songs we're singing, the Sunday school lesson, how that God continues to speak to his people. God continues to make himself known, make his will known, and he wants to continue to do that on into the future. As time continues, God speaks to his people. The title of this morning's message is Christmas Means Listening to Jesus. Christmas means listening to Jesus. Our text verse this morning will be Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses, where it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. We serve a gracious, loving God, who has made himself known through the scriptures. And as those verses there in Hebrews remind us, that under the Old Covenant, in Old Testament times, God made his will known, he made his presence known through the voice of the prophets. He spake in times past in diverse and various ways, but often through the prophets. He would speak and make his voice heard. How he would speak to them, whether it was an audible voice, we don't know exactly. But we are blessed to be able to turn to the Old Testament and read the words of the psalmist David and his musings of God and God responding to him. And we follow that conversation in our own hearts, and we worship God and we understand God more perfectly. We grow in our understanding of him. Our emphasis this morning will be more specifically on what we have learned about God and God's will for humankind and God's provision for humankind in a greater dimension through his Son Jesus, as those verses there in Hebrews chapter 1 remind us that back in the Old Testament, he has spoken to us through the prophets, but in these last days through his Son Jesus. And Jesus continues to speak to his children this morning. We could turn to the Gospels, and I was blessed to turn to the Gospels again in meditation and read those accounts, first of all, in the first two chapters of Matthew, and then I read through Luke chapter 2. The beautiful account of Jesus coming to this earth in such an humble, small way, it seemed, and yet so profound and so great. He came and he spoke to mankind as he lived a life of servanthood, and finally yielded his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. So God does speak. Christmas means listening to Jesus. To many people in the world today, Christmas means a lot of different things. It means giving, sharing, loving, singing, fellowship. And it can mean all those things to us. But I would like us to be challenged this morning to add to that list of all the things that Christmas means to us, and I trust that foremost is Jesus, his coming into the world and living his life for us and giving his life for us. This morning we'd like to emphasize the thought of, in this season of the year, let's be especially sensitive to listening to Jesus. How do you listen when God speaks to you through his Son Jesus? As you read the Gospels and read all those accounts of his stay here while he was here that short period of time. But first of all, it's a bit of an introduction. Let's just think about how God did speak to his people under the Old Covenant. There were long spells of time, periods of time under the Old Covenant when it seemed God would be quiet for a long time. But his faithful people would continue to cry unto him and look out to him and he would always be respond with faithfulness to their needs. The faith of the Old Testament and the faith of the New Testament is that God, the God we worship, is the God who communicates with his creatures. God is a communicating God. Our God is a communicating God. We have it through the scriptures. And we are blessed to have a communicating God. The scriptures as we have them is a record of God's events of self-disclosure. The volumes that we have in the scriptures helping us to understand who God is more perfectly. And we grow in that knowledge as we read the scriptures and meditate on them. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us in our individual lives and collectively. But it's a record of God's events and self-disclosure of himself, which he sought to communicate with people. And he continues to do that today through his word. We also recognize, according to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, that God communicates and speaks to mankind through nature. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. We heard about that this morning. Brother Merle talked about that in the Sunday school hour, about the vastness of the creation, the millions and billions of stars and the galaxies that are out there. Just stop and ponder that, and our mind collapses. But the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And it's so vast, it's so far beyond our finite minds and our ability to comprehend. And as people of God this morning, we look into the starry heavens and recognize the fact that this vast, enormous earth is just a small part of God's greater creation. It humbles us to then think that he recognizes each one of us as individuals on this great planet Earth, which is just a small part of his vast creation. But God does have a special interest in each individual life here this morning and throughout the world. And we take courage in that fact. God also speaks to mankind through their consciences. And our consciences about him are developed as we read the word. And it's amazing the awareness and the consciousness that even men and women who aren't directly connected to the scriptures, as they witness and observe the lives of God's people, or whatever ways it might be that God brings his presence and makes it be known in their lives, people develop an awareness and an oughtness of God, of his majesty and of his greatness. But more directly, it's interesting as we read through the Old Testament, and we'll just, in our introduction this morning, talk about how God did speak in the Old Testament, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 1, through the prophets of old. And there are many of them. We'll just reference a few of the holy men of God of the Old Testament that God did speak to mankind and especially his people through. And he did speak in diverse ways, in many and varied ways. We could think of Moses this morning, the man of God through whom God gave the Ten Commandments that we still have today. And those Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses was an order to produce a stable society that can be regulated, maintained, and perpetuated. And if mankind would follow those Ten Commandments, they could dwell together in peace and in unity and in a God-honoring way, and give God the glory that he deserves as we relate to him, and give each other the respect and the place that God would have for each of us individually. How was that made known? God spake through Moses of old, and Moses then in turn brought that law to the children of Israel, and we have it recorded for us today. Mankind, unfortunately, has chosen, in general, to violate a lot of those laws. And they therefore experience the consequences of ignoring those laws. It is important for us to honor all those Ten Commandments in our lives today, but we have them through the faithfulness of Moses. We go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, and we have the account of Elijah. He called the nation of Israel away from the waste and desolation of idolatry. We could turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, 21 and 22, where we have the contest on Mount Carmel, where the people of God were, and the followers of Baal were called to choose who it was that they were going to serve. Are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve God? And it's a challenge for our lives today. Have you forsaken false gods? God wants to ask us that question. They will always disappoint. Are you worshiping the one true God with all your heart? We could reflect on the prophet Isaiah, one who, if you follow through his writings, he speaks a lot about the sovereignty of God and the greatness of God. And a little bit like we looked at in our Sunday school lesson, we read about that in Job. But Isaiah challenges us in that way, in his words. He was a young man, and even though his ruler Uzziah was dead, God was still on the throne. And Isaiah reminded God's people that God was still on the throne. He acknowledged his own sinfulness, his unworthiness, and cried out to God, and immediately a seraphim comes and purged away the filth of his soul by taking a hot coal from the altar and touching him. And he became a wonderful servant of God and brings a message to us even today in our lives. Do we pay attention as we read the book of Isaiah to what God is saying to us today? We have the prophet Amos. He declared a moral God places moral demands on his people, that a God of integrity requires integrity on the part of his people. That was the message of Amos as he called people to a life of moral holiness. Do we pay attention to the challenges of Amos? We have the prophet Hosea, who brought a challenge. He is considered the prophet that was evangelist of the Old Testament, that brought the message of salvation and called God's people back to a life of holiness. Do we pay attention to these Old Testament prophets? Well, God in times past spake unto his people through those prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And that's where we want to turn our focus to more specifically this morning quickly. And hear what Jesus would have to say to us today. As we mentioned earlier, there was periods of time when God was silent for long periods of time. Under the old covenant, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were longing for the Messiah. And one day, the silence was broken. And the message came forth that there was a baby born in Bethlehem. And we believe that was the beginning of God bringing to mankind, bringing to earth a fuller disclosure of who he was and of a greater provision for the needs of mankind. And so we have it today. We have the blessing of living after the time and during the time of these last days when Jesus has spoken unto us by his Son Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we have seven quick points this morning. As we think of Christmas being a time when Jesus speaks to his people, I would like to remind us this morning that Jesus wants to speak to our hearts, us as individuals, but then in turn, he wants to speak to the needs of mankind through our lives. But our first point this morning, God has appointed Jesus the heir of all things. We have that here in Hebrews chapter 1 in our text verses. He has appointed him heir of all things. The victory belongs to Jesus this morning because of all that he has done. Just read a verse from Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This was the great king, the king of all times, who came in the form of such a lowly servant, in such an humble way. And the victory belongs to him. The glory belongs to him. I'd like to read those familiar verses in Philippians chapter 2 that remind us of the condescension of Jesus coming to this earth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. I'll read, start at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He condescended, became in the likeness of men. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." That's our Jesus. Such a condescension is hard for our human minds to comprehend. Being there with God the Father in heaven. It'd be interesting this morning to just ponder and contemplate what the conversation in heaven must have been as we called on Christmas Eve, the day before Jesus was going to come and be born by a virgin, Virgin Mary. What that mission would all entail. Being God, they knew all things. Jesus was willing to come in that humble way, and he became heir of all things, according to our text verses there in Hebrews chapter 1, because of his willingness to come in such an humble way. Point number two, it is through Christ, the babe in the manger, the Son of God, it is through Christ that God made the world. Just an interesting little phrase there, going back to Hebrews again. By whom also he made the world. The end of verse 2. He appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. We have those words in John chapter 1, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the creator of the world. It's through Christ that God made the world. What a powerful God. What a powerful Savior. What a powerful Christ. Certainly Christ is worthy of us listening to him because he is our creator this morning. Creative power of the universe was literally called into being by Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the verses I just referenced. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 reminds us that all things were created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. This one who came in such a lowly way as a babe in a manger was the creator of all these things, the universe, the world, It's important that we listen to him this morning. God made the world through him. Point number three. Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. We have that in the beginning of verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory? He is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the one who reflects the glory of God to humankind. He brought God to earth in a whole new dimension. It refers to the radiance shining forth from a source of light. God is light. Jesus came to bear witness of that light. Jesus was that light that lighteth all men that come into the world. Just as the radiance of the sun reaches the earth, so the radiance of Jesus Christ should reach into our lives and illuminate our hearts and the ways of mankind. That is God's plan and God's desire. Are you allowing the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious light of Jesus himself, in your heart to radiate forth and bless other people's lives? It's as we listen to Jesus and follow his teachings, conform our lives to him this morning, that we can radiate that life to other individuals. Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. And he wants to radiate that life through your life this morning. Point number four. Jesus Christ is the very image of the substance of God. You know, as we read through the Gospels and we understand the greatness of Jesus, his ability to perform miracles, and we watch him live his life while he was here, we develop a great understanding and appreciation of the power of God and who God is. He was God, he was the God-man. He was God in the flesh who came to dwell among man and provide for the needs of man. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. We were there with verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Jesus, should all fullness dwell. He is the very image of God. There's nothing about Jesus that wasn't God. Our finite minds are limited to understand the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, them being one and yet each having their important roles to fill. But we learn to know more about God and we listen to Jesus and grow in our comprehension and our understanding of who God is and his will for our lives. Jesus Christ is the very image of the substance of God. We already mentioned that he is the creator. He was involved in the creation. We believe all the Trinity was involved in the creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So all the Trinity was involved in the creation. But Jesus Christ is the very image of the substance of God. Our comprehension, mankind's comprehension of who God is, was greatly enhanced by the presence of Jesus on this earth. And we continue today to be blessed as we read the Gospels, read the Scriptures, to grow in our understanding of the greatness of God through the words of Jesus. Our fifth point, Jesus Christ upholds all things in the universe by the word of his power. It's hard for us to comprehend how the universe, which we have studied in school, and we have a very limited knowledge of how it revolves and how it spins through space and how all that controls the seasons. But all this is held in place by the word of the power of Jesus, by the word of his power. We believe it's Jesus that keeps the universe on schedule. Verse 3 says, upholding all things by the word of his power. And again, like Brother Merle mentioned in the Sunday school, you know, to think that there are people who believe that all this came into being by a great explosion or by whatever force or means it might be is uncomprehensible. By faith we believe that all these things came to be by the word of God. Point number 6. Jesus Christ has by himself purged our sins. We have that in verse 3 as well. God spake through the Old Testament prophets, last days spoken to us by his Son. And in one of those areas, he has advised us and helped us to understand that by the atoning work of Jesus on Calvary, he has purged us from our sins. We rejoice in that salvation this morning. Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, lived his life, rendered his service, and finally sacrificed himself as an atonement for our sins and the sins of all mankind on the cross. Let's worship Jesus for that this season. Let's worship him. I believe it's right for us to ponder the humble way in which he came. He brought to earth by a Virgin Mary. He laid there in that lowly manger. He came as a babe. Let's follow through in the whole story and worship him as the one who purged us from our sins. As we hear Jesus speak this morning, we recognize our own sinfulness, and then outside of this gift of Jesus and hearing him speak to our need for forgiveness of sins is to totally miss the purpose for which he came. And so I would like all of us to, in a special way, this season of the year, as we commemorate and think about Jesus, the Son of God who came to earth, to thank him anew for forgiveness of sin, his atoning work on Calvary. And for those in our midst who have not yet chosen him, this would be a perfect season for you to give your heart to Jesus. He came to give his life. And as you ponder and think of him in this season, coming as a babe in a manger to save your life, to save you from your sins, he is a perfect high priest. He has entered into the holy place, the most holy place, as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, the sins of all mankind. He bore the penalty for our sins and the sins of all the earth. He is able to offer the gift of salvation and eternal life. As the one who has conquered death and who is alive forevermore, Jesus serves as our advocate, making intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I should have that by memory. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is the message of Jesus this season. I've come to give my life for the sins of the whole world. Praise his name. It's not enough for us this morning to sing beautiful Christmas carols and rejoice in a baby that was born long ago. Let us listen to what he has to say about God, and let us respond to what he has to say about humankind's deepest need to find a Savior. He came to save this world from their sins. God with us. He came to save us from our sins. Our seventh and final point, Jesus Christ has been exalted and enthroned to be our King Redeemer. Jesus was born in such an humble, lowly way to be our King. He came to be our King. He merits a place of lordship in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus alone can save you from your sins. There's no other name given under heaven, given among men under heaven, whereby we can be saved. Jesus alone can save us from our sins. That is his message to all here this morning. Have you heard his invitation? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He wants to be Lord of your life. He is a worthy and competent leader who says, follow me. And so this season of the year, when there is much ado and much activity that doesn't even connect with who Jesus is, the reason that we as God's followers, the followers of Jesus, we want to worship Jesus. And we want to listen to Jesus. We want to be his faithful followers. He wants us to become more acquainted with him, more acquainted with God. And this morning we can be if we'll listen to Jesus. May we hear Jesus as we read the scriptures, as we share together, as we ponder of his great humiliating presence in this earth compared to who he was in heaven and who he now is as he is exalted and enthroned to be our King Redeemer. Jesus is coming again in power and great glory to receive his own unto himself. Let us hear his message. Let us hear his call and be ready when he comes. Jesus continues to speak today. We rejoice that we can read the Old Testament prophets that we reflected on just briefly at the onset of our meditation this morning, and the worship experience that we can have as we ponder their words and their journey of faith with God in what, as we reflect on it now, was in a limited way that we have in greater fullness. May we rejoice in the words of Jesus as they have come to us through the Gospels, through his presence here, as we read them and experience them in our lives. This morning, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We have all that man could want in him, and he is coming again to receive his own unto himself. May we this season worship him as a babe who came, worship him as a servant who served, worship him as a redeemer who gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, and may we worship him as our soon coming King and Redeemer. God bless you this coming week. Take that message to the world around us about your wonderful King and how that he has spoken to you, how he has met your needs, and he wants to meet the needs of all mankind. God bless you in that way. Shall we kneel for prayer?